Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Honestly, the economy got a little scary in 2022, and that could continue in 2023. It's okay to admit when money gets stressful, but what if you had an objective, relatable expert to help navigate the financial world? That's where NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast comes in. Smart Money hosts Sean Piles and Sarah Rathner talk with experts from NerdWallet's team of 100 money nerds to help you make smart financial decisions without the stress. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast today.
I just spied a crazy stat on TV, and it almost sounds like it can't possibly be true. Lakers and Clippers. Think how long the Clippers have been identified as the ugly redheaded stepchild of LA. Think how long the Clippers have been identified and perceived as the lesser entity in LA, and maybe they are when it comes to championships, when it comes to popularity. Though I think after Steve Ballmer bought the team and they had a little bit of success, first of all, he does all kinds of crazy walrus dancing. And second of all, they started to attract more people, because more celebrities, more interest, because they were winning and because they attracted a few superstars to the roster, thus bringing celebs and more of the high profile type interest. But this still seems like it can't possibly be true. They do play multiple times per year, so this is more a reflection of recent games and recent runs between the Clippers and Lakers. But would you have ever thought this possible? The Clippers have now beaten the Lakers 11 times in a row. Doesn't that sound like it can't possibly be true? And not all of those featuring Kawhi Leonard and his delicious laugh, because he's been hurt. He's been in and out of the lineup. But that just seems still to defy the history of the rivalry and the spirit and perception of basketball in LA, that the Clippers have rattled off 11 consecutive wins against the Lakers. Wow. I would never have thought that until I just saw it pop up on the old television. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I know we try to make you smarter around here, and sometimes just by virtue of backing into it, we make you sound dumber too, or I sound dumber, and then just, you know, you're guilty by association. So After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know why Aaron Rodgers is trending on Twitter, but I'm not taking the bait. I refuse. It's not a large quantity of tweets. It's only 3,400 tweets about Aaron Rodgers, but I'm not looking. Don't do it. Don't look on our show account. Don't look. I don't want to know. I do not want to know why he is trending, slightly trending on Twitter. Don't want to know. Not. I'm telling you, I've retired from clickbait. If you missed the story last week, I had a moment of pure weakness last week in which I opened up a story about Gisele Bündchen and Tom Brady and ended up on this ridiculous, just slide down into the darkness and a black hole of stupid gossip that wasn't even true. There was maybe one line in the entire article that was true and relevant that had anything to do with the headline. The rest had nothing to do with the two of them. It was some chick who's determined that she's Tom Brady's new stalker. So anyway, now I told you what's happening is that I open up my Internet Explorer on my laptop and every fifth story on that front page where they show you all the headlines and they offer you reading options. Really, it's clickbait. It's a clickbait page is what it is. Now, every fifth story is about Gisele Bündchen, but I have not opened another one. I'm very proud of myself. That actually would be a fun show question. What clickbait is impossible for you to ignore? Jay, would you care to venture a guess about the way clickbait gets to you? What's the top clickbait? And now I feel like an idiot because here I am talking about top clickbait and mine's Gisele Bündchen. No, I will tell you what my top clickbait is if you tell me what your top clickbait is.
I didn't know it until right now, but it might be Aaron Rodgers because I'm certainly getting on the hunt for
you
this.
You didn't.
I haven't yet, but I'm itching.
I explicitly gave instructions that we would not be taking the Aaron Rodgers clickbait here on the show, and you've decided that you're going to defy it, and now we're going to get bombarded with stupid Aaron Rodgers stuff.
I haven't looked at it yet, so we haven't done it yet.
Should we make Manny do it, just so we know if it's anything significant?
Maybe.
Manny is with us tonight, again, training, because Jay's about to get fired, so Manny needs to take over.
Honestly, though, movies are my big clickbait. When I see
any
like,
movie,
like, well, honestly, when I see teasers for like National Treasure 3 or like, oh, a new Back to the Future or like something, you know, all these crazy things.
Is there
like,
a new Back to the Future?
No, there never will be.
Dang it. Why would you say that to me if you didn't really mean it?
Just because like these clickbait things come up, like, oh, Christopher Lloyd was seen with, you know, whatever. But anyway, Michael J. Fox, but. And so I get those and I click on them. I'm like, I know it's not real, but I have to click on it. And
then,
so that's me. Yeah.
Ah, interesting. So my clickbait is similar, but it really is about Star Wars. If there's anything to do with Star Wars universe, I generally end up clicking on it. But apparently my Internet Explorer, the algorithm, believes that I can't resist Gisele Bündchen. Forget Tom Brady. It's just about Gisele now.
Well, yeah, now it thinks that that's what you're into.
Right. I'm into Gisele. There we go. So anyway, I no longer open stories about Aaron Rodgers either because I don't want to be inundated with Aaron Rodgers stuff. Trying to think what else would get me every time on clickbait. You know what? I do every now and then. I haven't done it recently, but I'll get onto this this run of opening up columns about, you know, five ways to be healthier or there's usually like 35 superfoods or, you know, five great recipes for blah, blah, blah. So I'll do something that's more along the health and nutrition tangent, and those I don't mind, because if you're going to send me stories along those lines, I'm okay. I just am an idiot because I opened three or four stories about Brady and Bündchen, and now I can't get rid of them.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're like, yeah, send me something like 10 ways to get a better sleep. Like, okay, maybe I'll check that out.
Do you think there really are 10 ways to get a better sleep?
Probably, but then you click on the link and it's like step one, 400 ads until you get to step two, and then the rest of the article doesn't exist. And then,
yeah, that's the worst. Or when they try to make you accept cookies.
Now,
see, it's one of those words, it drives me bonkers. First of all, why are they called cookies? And second of all, you're taking a beautiful blessing, an incredible gift. You're taking chocolate chip cookies, or just name your favorite cookie. You're taking cookies and you're turning it into something with a negative connotation. It's wrong.
That's why they do it, I think, to make the word seem so, you know,
appealing,
safe and unharming. And then,
well, I mean, cookies can be unsafe depending upon how many you eat. Like you, when I give you cookies, how many cookies do you eat? But first of all, I don't care about your cookies. And second of all, it is annoying when you won't allow me to read a column because I won't accept the cookies. So I don't accept cookies from strangers, so that's not happening.
I do not accept the cookies.
I do not accept cookies from strangers. Anyway, the internet sucks. Thanks, Al Gore. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, we have a lot to get to. I could start any which way but loose here. I really could. But since I started by sharing this stat with you about the Clippers versus the Lakers, I suppose we'll go ahead and we'll let you hear from a very excited Noah Eagle on Clippers radio.
Here is Highland on the right wing, cross over and drive middle to the dotted line, blows over the right and gets the roll off the front iron. Bones Highland coming alive with 11 in the fourth. 110-92 LA. Clippers in front with 6:40 to play and a steal. Powell takes it away from Vanderbilt. Left to right, he lobs it up. Leonard, skies high. Kawhi with the biggest Kawhi light of the season. Timeout Lakers.
112-92. Powell on the delivery. Leonard on the finish. And the Clippers go back up by 20.
It was the Kawhi and Norm Powell show. And Norm really picking up a lot of the minutes and the traffic and the opportunities left by Paul George, who is injured, of course. So you've got Norm with 27, Kawhi with 25. He was out there almost the entire game. And something else that I think is so fun, I love these storylines in sports where they come out of nowhere. Bones Highland. Bones. First of all, it's a great first name. Bones Highland. As I was listening to this game, getting ready for work, I heard his name a ton. 21 minutes, all 14 of his points coming in the fourth quarter. That is how you close. You close with the bones. So the Lakers fall to the Clippers. That ends the Lakers' four-game winning streak, which was the second longest in the NBA. The Clippers, meanwhile, are making it very interesting for the five seed in the West. Top four teams in the West have already clinched. Denver's not locked up the number one seed yet, but Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix have all clinched the playoffs, which, by the way, this is the last couple days of the NBA regular season. It runs to the weekend, and that's it. So it wraps up on Easter. I think they have games on Sunday. I haven't looked that far ahead, but the play-in tournaments are next week. So this is it. This is the end of the NBA regular season. So you have those four teams in the West, but there's still so much more yet to be decided. We'll get to it coming up. So Ty Lue sees his Clippers build a 20-point lead and then watch that lead get down to single digits.
I thought our bench came in, Norm and Bones. I came in and changed the pace and the tempo of the game. I thought, you know, Russ did a good job getting started, him and EG. And then in that second half, I thought Bones and Norm came in and really gave us a lift. Didn't like how we finished it.
We came out aggressive, pushing pace and transition, knocked down shots, played well defensively early, and it carried us throughout the whole 48 minutes.
I like how Ty Lue says, I don't love the way we finished. And Kawhi on Bally Sports West is like, we played hard the whole 48 minutes. All right. Coordinator stories later. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Meanwhile, the Lakers seem to run out of gas a bit there in the second quarter. Kind of came out with a burst of energy, but not really able to withstand it. Though, yes, when the Clippers take their collective feet off the gas, well, then the Lakers are able to make a run. And weirdly enough, the theme for Darvin Ham for LeBron was the travel was really challenging.
The trip we just came off, you don't want to use excuses. Sometimes they're not excuses. It's just real life circumstances. And we knew in order to make a game of it and give ourselves a chance, we had to start the right way. And, you know, obviously getting in very late, dealing with some different types of weather and different elements.
Coming off the road trip, and even though this is a road game, you know, just you know, coming off the road trip and, you know, getting back, you know, late last night, but after an overtime game, and, you know, it was a tough game for us. Obviously, we started off in the first half, not so playing Laker basketball. We had some good spurts, but not enough. So this is one of those scheduling conflicts, you know, in the season. And definitely got the best of us tonight.
All right. So travel, weather, yada, yada, yada. LeBron, scheduling conflicts, I don't know. They weren't going to win out, more than likely. And because of their loss now, and because of the Clippers' win, I'm telling you, the Western Conference standings are even more impossible. They are as impossible as they've been all season. Are you ready for this? Warriors were idle on Wednesday evening. With the Clippers' win, the Clippers and Warriors have the same record. The Lakers and Pelicans have the same record. The Thunder and Mavericks have the same record. So of the, now Utah is still technically alive, but it would, now you're talking about Utah with three straight losses. They've dropped seven of their last 10 with three games to go. Let's see. Yeah, three games to go for the Jazz. They're trailing by a game and a half in the Western Conference standings. So it's not impossible, but it would be quite the miracle, though I guess anything is possible, right? So from the Clippers through the Warriors and then the 7-10 tournament down to the Mavericks. From 5 through 11, all of those teams are separated by just 4 games. And you've got three sets of twinsies. Clippers, Warriors, Lakers, Pelicans, Thunder, Mavericks all have the same records. Now, see, I don't believe that sports are rigged, but it's a little bit suspicious. It's very suspicious, I tell you. The Clippers are trying to grab that 5 seed, but the Warriors, of course, they've been fighting, scratching, clawing. We'll see what happens with Golden State because we haven't really heard any update on Klay Thompson, who missed last night's game with a lower back soreness, lower back spasm, something along those lines. We also have found out that Andrew Wiggins will not return for the final 2 games of the regular season. So we'll see. It's really, I think, paramount more than who gets the 5 and who gets the 6. For the Clippers and Warriors, both of those teams want to stay out of the play-in tournament. That's kind of the dealio-yo. They don't want to be in the play-in tournament. All right, so we've got more to get to. I think next we'll turn our microscope onto the Dallas Mavericks because, well, both Hardaways were speaking on Wednesday. Junior is saying one thing. Senior is saying another. Mark Cuban is upset, of course, about the struggles of the team since the trade, though they do have a high note on Wednesday. It's if they don't make the playoffs, even the play-in tournament, the poo is going to hit the fan.
It's the dark side. Embrace it.
The Kyrie element to this, it just fascinates me because he leaves the Nets. They play better without him. Now, they, of course, everyone misses KD, but they play better without him, really. They look better without him. He goes to the Mavericks. They suck. And they're going to miss the playoffs. Weren't they in the 4 or 5 spot when they traded for him? They were in the 4 spot. I'm getting confirmation from the other side of the double-paned glass. They were in the 4 spot, and now they're in danger of missing even the play-in tournament. If I'm Mark Cuban, I am saying heck no to Kyrie Irving because that's the part that changed. Well, that's a big part that changed. Of course, they traded away 2 very good role players, and that comes on the heels of them letting Jalen Brunson go in the offseason, remember? So they missed Jalen Brunson. They trade away Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith. So 3 guys that are not going to make problems. They're not going to go AWOL. They don't need to be the center of attention. These are all things that Kyrie must be and must have and must do. He can't help himself. It's like clickbait. He can't help himself. Speaking of clickbait, I've put the post up on social media. Just me. On Twitter. I'll put it on Facebook. What online clickbait is impossible for you to resist? I've come up with another one, and this happens all the time. I can't help it. It's really the only redeeming quality of social media, if you must know. So, two types of videos, but one in particular that I flock to. I wish they would send me more of these things. What online clickbait is impossible for you to resist? I am blown away by the fact that we are bidding farewell to April 5th. We are going into April 6th. It's a big day for my family, April 6th. I'll share with you a little bit later on. Before I just need to make sure I'm steady and stable so I don't cry right in the middle of it. Although that's always a possibility. You take the good, you take the bad. You take them both and there you have a very emotional radio host. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Holiday's got to get to work. He's got Levine all over him. Pulls up, quick release. Jumper is pure. I mean, that is just lethal. Drew Holiday late in the shot clock, points under pressure with a hand in his face. Not enough to stop him. He's got His team ahead by 12 now. Here's a tough shot. Holiday delivers another beauty. 17-footer left elbow contested. There's no stopping that dude when he's locked in like he is right now. Jrue Holiday now sitting with 20 points to go with his season-high 15 assists. Inbound pass from Williams. He gets it in, and Carly Jones will dribble this one out as the final horn sounds, and the road to the NBA title will go through the Cream City of Milwaukee as the Bucks have clinched the number one overall seed going into the playoffs with their 58th win of the season, 105-92. The shorthanded Bucks find a way to take down the Bulls here again tonight in Milwaukee.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Who would have thought the Bucks would clinch the top seed in the East before the Nuggets would clinch the top seed in the West? Because the Bucks have had competition. In fact, the Celtics were leading for a good portion of the, I guess it would have been maybe the middle third of the season until the Bucks overtook them. That's Dave Kane on Bucks Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So not only do the Bucks end up with that top seed, they also clinch the best record overall. Right now, sitting on 58 wins, 22 losses. They have a 3-game lead over the Celtics, a 5.5-game lead over the Sixers. So playing some strong basketball right now, even though they've had Giannis and Chris Middleton in and out of the lineup. And that happened again tonight. Now, it was the second night of a back-to-back. You're going into the playoffs. There's no need to keep the pedal to the metal. And Mike Budenholzer was even talking about this after the game because Chris Middleton appeared to tweak a knee, his knee, and they actually allowed him to start the game, but he was gone, I think, by the, late in the first quarter.
Kind of a right knee soreness, a reaggravation of kind of, something that we've been working with him on all year. So, that's what I got.
So they're being very careful with Chris Middleton, also careful with Giannis. And I think with Giannis, too, it's also right knee maybe would have been playing if this was a game that they had to have. But it's late in the year, not a whole lot on the line. They still had 3 games to clinch the top seed. They were in charge of their own fate, and so they do that. And to be able to do it against the Bulls, without Giannis, really without Chris Middleton for most of the game, without Grayson Allen. They were also missing Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton. So those are two guys that can shoot from outside. But Jrue Holiday is playing some incredible basketball right now. Heads up, smart, crafty. On both ends of the court, he is in charge. I love the way that Jrue is running the show. And he ends up with 20 points and 15 assists and a cool first.
This is my first time being number one seed, so for me it was something that I'd never done before. Obviously, a goal of mine, but really just to prove that we can finish out games and finish out a season well.
It's just a credit to the players. The players have really stepped up. I think they've embraced the challenge. Night in and night out in this league, it's hard.
It's hard. Period. That's the end of Mike Budenholzer. So congrats to the Bucks. They worked hard for it. The Boston Celtics, they won tonight as well against Toronto. But as I say, they don't pick up any pace. They're still 3 games back. They have clinched their division title. Sixers, Cavs, Knicks are your top 5 in the Eastern Conference with the Brooklyn Nets, minus Kyrie, minus KD, attempting getting closer to a playoff spot of their own.
Dinwiddie to the baseline, under the basket, out top O'Neal, long three, knocks it down from Ann Arbor. 89-73, Brooklyn, 3:20 to go in the third.
And beautiful pass by Dinwiddie, his 12th assist.
Left side, Bridges, attacking Hampton. Falling away, left of the lane, shot won't go, got his own miss, falling away in the baseline, and he hits the fadeaway. It's good.
How about that? He grabbed it off the floor and went into the shooting motion all the way up and finished.
Bridges going right baseline to the rim and a two-hand slam for Mikal Bridges. He's got 26 to lead the Nets.
Great play out of a timeout. Jacques Vaughn, give him a lot of credit. Gave a great angle for Mikal Bridges to finish with a dunk.
Focus now is on Orlando. It's obviously a big game for us, but tomorrow will be a recovery day. everybody's, you know, independently take care of their bodies, get their minds right, and then come out against the Orlando team that beat us last time we were down there.
Ah, need the microphone. Joe Harris, I know I'm a mess tonight. Joe Harris talking about how really this is the Nets mentality now. They've got to go one game at a time, can't get too far ahead. But they take advantage of the Pistons. They win on the road in Detroit. And I'm not even sure the majority of basketball fans out there would even recognize their entire starting lineup. Speaking of a lineup, put them in like a police lineup and the number of guys that they probably wouldn't recognize as basketball players in the NBA. I do love the Joe Harris piece. I really think Spencer Dinwiddie is an incredible player, though he did not have a good game tonight. He was 1 of 10. And actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but this might be his second time in three games in which he's just been brutal from the floor. He's had a couple of rough shooting nights, but I do really like him. Nick Claxton has had some great games this season. Mikal Bridges, of course, comes over in the trade for Kevin Durant. He took 26 shots tonight to have 26 points. That's not a great ratio. But anyway, 26 points. And then you've got Cam Johnson out there as well. So they do have some really solid role players. The issue, of course, is they don't have any superstars. I don't know if you would agree with me, disagree, but you look at that lineup, and as I say, you're talking about an entire group of role players as opposed to any one of these guys who would be an all-star.
100%. The only one that could be is Bridges, eventually. That's what they're hoping for. He can get to that level.
Right. And yet, there's probably a heck of a lot more peace in Brooklyn without Kyrie and Kevin Durant, you know?
Yeah, especially without Kyrie. Durant, I mean, it was some of it, but it was mostly that he wasn't on the floor because he was never healthy.
Well, Kyrie, he asked for a trade twice in 8 months.
There wasn't a lot of...
he tried to get the coach and the GM fired.
I get it. He did it quiet compared to Kyrie. It flew under the radar.
Okay, well, if nobody knows anything about it, then maybe it's not a big deal.
That's basically what it came down to. It was like turmoil inside that nobody else knew. That's what it felt like. But look, it's a lot calmer. It's a lot easier.
Yes.
They're a lot more cohesive. They're a lot more together. Those are all great things, and for the Net organization, they hope that maybe now some of these trades they can start building and moving forward. It's almost like they had no picks from the trade with the Kevin Garnett and the Paul Pierce, that thing, and they had to rebuild it without any draft picks. Mm-hmm. They were able to do that. Then they scrapped that, and they got Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and then they had like a 3 or 4 year span where it's almost like we went back in time, we erased that. We put Spencer Dinwiddie back on the Nets, and we basically started it with a new group, and now they're going to move forward from this. So it's almost like they just took 3 years, and they just kind of threw it out the window, and let's get back to what we were doing before. That's the Net focus, and that's their next future now.
What's that cliche? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. They did this whole thing with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Now, granted, KG and Paul Pierce were older. They had already won their title with the Celtics. It really was more about a splash and big names and like bringing some pizzazz, I would say. But as you point out, they gave up a haul, and it really put them in an awkward and awful position. Mm-hmm. I would have thought they'd learned their lesson. Nope, let's do that again and just throw caution to the wind. Now, again, these two guys were, I would say, more in the prime of their career. However, they knew KD wasn't going to be available for an entire year.
Right.
So they paid him for 1 year to do zilch. Mm-hmm. There was no guarantee he was going to come back and be as good. When he's on the court, he's still amazing. Mm-hmm. But that's been the MO with him these last couple of years. He's missing large chunks of time. And then Kyrie is not reliable no matter what age he is or where you put him.
That was the thing. They knew they were going to do the dance with the devil. They were willing to do it. The biggest difference, I should say, with the first one was they gave up a ton of draft capital. Mm-hmm. I mean, unprotected first-round picks left and right. Yes. They couldn't get out from under that trade. This one, as bad as it was, it only cost them money. It cost time. Yeah, but it didn't cost them any of their first-round picks until they made the deal for Harden, and then they made the deal for Simmons. So in that regard, yes, it did cost them time.
Forget about Simmons.
It doesn't hamstring them moving forward as much as the first trade did. This one they can get out from under. Now, will they ever get back to getting a superstar into Brooklyn?
Did you say superstar?
I think you probably did. It's possible.
It's fitting for Kyrie. Superstar.
Would they be able to get another one to come to Brooklyn now? Can they get over the top? Can they become a championship-level team?
Poor Steve Nash.
After they thought they were going to be that way? I don't know. That's to be seen. That's if Bridges can emerge into that level. That's what they're hoping for. And you say poor Steve Nash, and that's true. I would go back to poor Kenny Atkinson, who was shown the door first before Durant even took the floor.
And then Steve Nash.
Durant, before he took the floor, he didn't like what Kenny Atkinson was doing, wanted Steve Nash. That turned into a disaster, turned into Jacques Vaughn, and now a totally different team.
They're both so fickle, just fickle. So we're doing this kind of fun question tonight on the show because I was fessing up on myself and talking about how I now, when I turn on my laptop at home, I'm inundated with stories about Gisele Bündchen and Tom Brady, but mostly about Gisele because I took the clickbait. I opened up a story. It was a nonsensical story. It wasn't really about her. There was like one line that even mattered. And so now all I get is Gisele stories when I open up my internet, right? Mm. They have that page, that reading page. So we're asking people on this show, what's the online clickbait that's impossible to resist? I know you're not going to say porn, so I feel safe asking you this question. So what? If I even get one answer that's porn, that's it. We're done. Like, I'm shutting all of you down. So what is the online clickbait? Is there anything that's impossible to resist for you?
When I'm not working? No. No, when I'm not working, there's a good chance that I'm not reading.
Okay, what about when you're at work and you have to be looking for stuff?
Then, yeah, you just kind of hit it. The Kyrie, the Kevin Durant, any of the not Aaron Rodgers, all the buzzwords of the nonsense.
Don't look right now.
Of all the drama, of all the garbage that comes along with it, that's the stuff that I wind up inundated and I wind up looking into, and you wind up in the deep hole, and all of a sudden you look up and you're like, well, what did I just, spent 20 minutes. Talk about wasting time. I just spent a half hour doing nothing and I could have used it in different spots.
Mm. So Manny and Jay, are you ready to fess up about your online? Well, Jay did his online clickbait is like movie trailers. Manny, do you have anything that you're willing to share? This, Manny, don't mess this up. This is your first opportunity to be on After Hours. If you mess it up, you know these opportunities are few and far between again. So be careful what you say. Again, if you say porn, you're out. Like, that's it.
I guess a couple of years ago when all the rumors of Zion Williamson, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant going to the Knicks, that certainly was a period in my life that I was clicking on everything. But
you couldn't resist.
I could not resist, no, but it's a good thing it kind of worked out in my favor, huh, Jay?
Jay. Okay, so we're asking you on both Twitter and Facebook. Twitter is A-Law Radio. This actually is my own question that I originated. And then on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, John goes with any clickbait relating to the NFL draft. It gets me every time. Oh, heavens, that's so boring.
You know, it's been a good 10 years. I haven't gone down the draft prospectus
hole
in a really long time. I mean, look, the top few guys, we talk about the quarterbacks, that I'm interested in. Once we get into, like, you know, check out this offensive lineman from Iowa at the 23rd pick. You lost me. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not smart enough, nor I know myself well enough. I don't know who the best center in the country was. I could tell you I did. I could say I watched the games. I don't know that enough. I'm sorry. I don't know the footwork to watch it. I can't see it. I don't understand. Mm. So I'm going to let the experts do what they do.
Michael on Facebook says, any YouTube video that has to do with who the Niners QB will end up being next year. He says, I'm a sucker for the drama. But then we get the Goody Two Shoes, who, of course, is above clickbait. She says on Facebook, I try to avoid it since whatever I click on causes an avalanche of a bunch of other things I'm not interested in. Okay, well, you're better than the rest of us because that's what clickbait is all about. It's designed to suck you in regardless of your altruistic intentions. I feel sufficiently chastised. So either on Twitter or on Facebook, what are the impossible clickbaits that you cannot resist? Good stuff on Twitter as well. So we'll get to that also. Speaking of the clickbait, Kyrie Irving, he's always offering clickbait. Sometimes it's on the basketball court, sometimes not so much. Here's our late. Oh, wait, hold on. And this time next hour, Marco, you're here, right? This time next hour, you're not going to believe what happened with my taxes. I went to file them on Wednesday morning. Okay. You are not going to believe what TurboTax pulled on me. I almost had a heart attack and fell out of my chair and hit my head on the kitchen floor. I'm telling you that I have an accounting degree, and so I was able to figure it out. But for people who don't, I can imagine that this would be very traumatic. You're not going to believe it. Just wait. Okay. All right.
You got me. I'm curious.
Good. Talk to you in an hour. You're welcome back.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Luka to his left, chased by Barnes. Backs up but doesn't shoot. Across the way to Green. Fakes a pass to Hardaway. He'll drive. Around Monk. Wrap around. Left corner. Kyrie. Rainbow! Oh, man! Did he bring rain with that?
Yeah, because Fox got out of there on him.
31 for Kyrie. Kyrie, Euro step. Floater no good. Wide to the left. Wood the rebound. Shot clock didn't reset. Out to Hardaway. On the move. Kick it left. Wood. 4-3. Kill shot! Kill shot for Christian Wood! And the Mavericks up by 9. 123 to 114. They've had the answers down the stretch.
Not every fourth quarter is like that for me. And if you look back at the last few games, I wish I could have played as well as I did tonight and just stay aggressive and just settle in our offense and defense. But tonight it just was working well. And I just wanted to stay in attack mode no matter what. We really needed this win tonight. So, you know, just desperation basketball and playing smart. It's not like it's the first time I've been in a must-win game, so I feel good.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kyrie Irving with 19 points in the fourth quarter alone, including a humongous three. After the Mavericks trailed by 13 against Sacramento early in the second half, they were able to outscore them by 15 in the second half, and Kyrie the closer on Wednesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mavericks are still on the outside of the playoff picture looking in, but they desperately needed this one.
It's just normal. It's what he does. Here of late, he's, you know, Miami, Atlanta, he's come out of the gates. He hasn't waited. And tonight, he didn't get off to a great start, but just knowing Kai, he's going to compete. And I thought in the second half, he controlled the game.
31 points for Kyrie Irving overall. Luka Doncic ends up with 29 as well as 10 rebounds. And now keep our Hardaway straight here. Tim Hardaway Jr. calls this one of the best tandems in the world.
You got two best guys, some of the two best, you know, players in the world on the same team. You have to utilize them, you know, down the stretch. They're going to put you in a great position, you know, and to win the ball games. It just takes us three other guys to be ready to score, do our part, and on the defensive end, to cover them, because we know that they're going to do a fair amount of that work on the offensive end to make sure that we get through. So it was an all-out team effort. They played a heck of a game. Kyrie, you know, doing what Kyrie does in the fourth. Like I said, happy that we all came together and got the win.
Chuck Cooperstein with the calls on the Mavericks Radio Network. Again, that's Tim Hardaway Jr. Tim Hardaway Sr. had a different thought process regarding the Mavericks earlier in the day. He was a guest on the Carton Show on Fox Sports, and what he said is that this moment where the Mavericks traded for Kyrie was definitely a turning point for the franchise.
Me personally, that trade wasn't for them. I think I would have kept what I had because I was in fourth, fifth spot.
Right.
What is not broken does not need to be fixed.
Well, that's true. I do agree with the concept of you don't always have to be making changes. There's something to be said for working with what you've got, especially in sports when you feel like you have quality guys, when you feel like you have guys that are willing to buy in and will be part of the group, right? There's a chemistry element and a consistency element to that. However, we know in the NBA that if you don't have superstars, it becomes extremely difficult to win. And the Mavericks had kind of run into a glass ceiling. They wanted to pair Luka with someone with a little more pop and a little more offensive ability. And having lost Jalen Brunson, they also needed a point guard too. And so I understand what Tim Hardaway Sr. is saying on the Carton Show in Fox Sports, but it is interesting that he is saying this while his son is playing for the Mavericks and averaging 14 points per game. And actually, Tim Jr. had 24 tonight. He goes even deeper, breaking down the Mavericks roster, though, and says they lack the L word at the top.
His stats are fine, but you know, they missing a leader. They missing a leader out there. Luka is not a leader. Kyrie is not a leader. Jalen Brunson was a leader.
So let me ask this. What's the difference between being a great player, because Luka's a great player, Kyrie's a great player, and being a leader?
A leader goes out there and he tells your team and gives your team confidence. He talks to your team. He makes sure that your team is actually doing what they're supposed to do. A leader shows by example too, you know, by playing defense, when he says something, he does it also. That's what a leader is. And like I said, those two guys are not leaders. They're complimentary, dominant, great basketball.
Great scores, for great sure.
We kind of cut him off there, but you hear Carton say they're great scores for sure. That's the Carton Show on Fox Sports and Tim Hardaway Sr. How quickly does that get back to Tim Hardaway Jr. and the Mavericks locker room? So there's a challenge there. Now, we know Luke has been frustrated, and why not? They just got their second win in 9 games. They have fallen from the 4 spot to out of the play-in tournament, at least for now, though it's not beyond the realm of possibility that they would be able to climb back in there in these next couple of days, the end of the regular season. But I can't imagine what poo hits the fan if they don't make the playoffs at all. They've fallen that far out, and Kyrie Irving leaves after the season because he becomes a free agent. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.